Grace be to you in peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sermon text for today is printed for you in your service folder. It's from Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. It reads this way, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." Here ends our text. Dear friends in Christ, I'm wondering how much you like or enjoy your job. It doesn't matter if you are a stay-at-home parent, if you are still at home working from there, or if you now go into the office or you never left the office even during the pandemic. I'm wondering what it is that motivates you to get out of bed in the morning and do what you do each day. Is it that you genuinely enjoy the work that you do? So it's not difficult for you to get up in the morning. You just love it all day long. So you get up and do your thing. Has your job just become something that pays the bills that show up in your inbox and your mailbox? Is it something maybe that you just say, well, I don't really know what else I'd be doing, so I guess I'm going to go to work and do that. If you didn't have to go to work, would you still go to work? You'd still find something to do? I'm wondering what it is that makes you do what you do every single day. Do you ever think about what made Jesus get up every morning when he was walking and talking here on this earth? What made Jesus get up and go to work and do what he did every single day? If you think about it, there's really no good earthly reason why Jesus would get up and go and do what he did, right? I mean, it's not like he was trying to pay the bills. What Jesus did didn't really have an income, so to speak. He wasn't paying money. And I suppose you could say, well, did he just genuinely enjoy everything that he did with his work every single day, every moment? Well, if you think back to that conversation that he had with his Heavenly Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said, hey, if there's any other way that we can get this done, any other way that I could save the world from their sins, let's do that, because I know what's coming, and it's not pleasant. That pretty much answers the question, right? If he enjoyed his work every moment of every day. And I suppose you can't even say, well, Jesus didn't have anything better to do. He came straight from heaven itself, right? It's the gold standard of where you want to be and what you want to be doing for all eternity. So why do it? Why come here among all of these people who turn against you in their sins, and then you live a Spartan lifestyle where so much is demanded of you every moment of every day, where you gain nothing in return? Why do that? What gets you out of the bed every day to do that? The answer to the question is one word. One word that's found on the cover of your service folders for today. One word that's highlighted in this verse from Matthew that we're considering. It's the word compassion. For Jesus, it was all about compassion. It was this divine compassion in his heart that motivated him for ministry. And then it was this divine compassion that flowed from his heart to the people around him. And that's what we want to talk about for a little bit this morning, this motivation that Jesus had for doing what he did and how it spills over even to you and me. You know, so the first point was Jesus had this divine compassion in his heart. Matthew began by simply saying this, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. You know, the word compassion in the original Greek text, it's the equivalent of the word heartache in the English language. Let me explain it to you this way. Some months back, one of my kids was studying for a test and studying and studying and studying and studying hard all the time, day after day, studying for a test. And when the day of the test finally came, the results were not what they had expected, not what they had wanted. And I think it was my wife who put things into perspective, and she put into words what we were thinking and feeling. She simply said, "My heart hurts for my daughter. My heart hurts for my daughter." And you could see the anguish in her face when she said it. Jesus used much the same expression, much the same word, when he was trying to describe his compassion that he had for the crowds of people that were suffering around him. Think about it for a moment. If your heart hurts for the people that you love when they have to go through a difficult time, when they are suffering in some way in their life, imagine how Jesus' heart hurts. It's 1,000-fold, isn't it? Just 1,000 times greater or more, that Jesus' heart hurts for the ones that he loves, the ones that he created. The Bible is just full of examples of Jesus' compassion for others around him. Think back to Jesus' friend, Lazarus. When Lazarus died, the Bible says that Jesus was deeply moved in his spirit when Lazarus passed away. Or when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, we are told that his first concern wasn't even for himself. It was for his disciples, who were obviously scared about what was going on. That's why Jesus told the soldiers, he asked the soldiers, "Well, please let these men go. You've got me, take me, but let these men go." Even when Jesus was suffering terribly on the cross, his concern turned toward his mother to make sure that her needs would be met. Even we are told that Jesus did not give up his spirit on the cross. He did not allow himself to die on that cross until he was certain that mom's needs would be taken care of after he was gone. And as Jesus approached Jerusalem for the very last time, remember what the Bible says? Tears on his face. He wept over the city. It just tore him apart on the inside, just ripped him apart on the inside, because he knew the people in that city had the Word of God. They had God's own Messiah preaching and teaching among them, and they chose to reject him. That just ripped him apart, just tore him in half on the inside. It made him cry. You know, Isaiah the prophet in the Old Testament, he wasn't kidding around when he said that Jesus was someone who certainly knew grief. He was acquainted with grief. He was a man of sorrows. In other words, Jesus knew what it felt like to have his heart hurt and hurt deeply for the ones that he loved, for the ones that he had created. It was that compassion, that divine compassion that lived so strongly, continues to live so strongly in our Lord, that continually makes him distinct and different from all of the other religions in the world and the man-made gods that they put in those religions, right? One theologian put it this way. Said, "Hinduism is perhaps one of the most cruelly neglectful of all religious systems. Its caste system prohibits anyone from even touching those of an alien caste. Its treatment of the sick and dying is sometimes shocking and barbarous. Brahmins, the Hindu priestly class, recognize no responsibility for the care of the afflicted and downtrodden. Islam, whose history runs red with secular and religious bloodshed, cannot be expected to show much pity for those in need. The primary motive behind Buddhist benevolence is that the act may lay up merit. In the end, their hearts do not hurt for anyone or anything except themselves." It's no surprise that Jesus Christ would look so different and seemed so different to the people as he began preaching and teaching among them. Jesus was someone who would teach the people, right? Jesus would teach by using parables all the time. Remember what Jesus used when he told parables? He encouraged things like grace and love and forgiveness and compassion. We are told repeatedly on the pages of Scripture that Jesus, moved by compassion, would give people their sight back. He'd give people their legs back. Jesus would drive out demons from people. There was a man whose name was Thomas Watson. He said this, "We may force our Lord to punish us, but we will never have to force him to love us." You could understand why the people were so dazzled, absolutely dazzled and impressed by the way Jesus talked and how he carried himself and what he did in his life. There was this compassion that they saw in what he did and what they heard in what he taught. It's the kind of compassion that they had not seen in a very, very long time, if they had ever even seen it or heard it at all. And that brings us to the other reason why Jesus was so motivated in his ministry, in his life. Because we're told that, yes, he showed compassion, he was compassionate in his heart, but it was because the people were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus was filled with compassion in his heart. But as he looked at the people, he saw the great spiritual need that was there. They were helpless. They were so lost. Jesus had compassion in his heart, but he knew that the people needed compassion flowing from his heart to meet these needs that they had. You know, the picture that Jesus gave was that of a sheep that had been cut and that was so exhausted it was thrown down. I don't know how much you know about sheep, but when a sheep becomes exhausted, they don't just go back to the flock and take a nap. They just fall down exactly where they're at. That's it. They don't go anywhere. They're just so exhausted, they just fall down right in the spot where they're at. The people were so exhausted, utterly exhausted in Jesus' day because there were these religious rules that were imposed upon them that they desperately tried to obey. And they were just exhausted from it all. They became helpless in the end. And that is what Jesus saw. And it hurt his heart. It hurt his heart to the very core to see people who were so lost, so helpless, and at the same time, they had no shepherd to lead them. Does that remind you of anybody? Do you know what it reminds me of? Nearly every American in our country. Everyone. Because sin cuts a person's heart. And it cuts so many people so much of the time that there are not enough secular counselors in the world to stop the bleeding. They can't stop the bleeding. They don't even know how deep the cut goes when sin cuts into a person's heart. Little do they know that the cut goes all the way down to a person's soul, and it exposes a hole so big in their hearts that only a compassionate God and his forgiving love and his forgiveness could ever fill that hole and void in their life. You know the culture that we live in? The culture that we have does not help at all. It offers people nothing for these cuts of sin on their soul. Even the religious systems that we have in our country, they have little to no help for people either, right? What do they tell you? The religious systems will tell you, be nice, be loving of other people, do the right thing. And after a while, people become exhausted. And half the time, they don't even know that they're exhausted. You know, this past week, I was talking with Pastor Burgess about the sermon. And I mentioned, hey, it's going to be all about compassion this week. He said, hey, have you ever heard of this thing called compassion fatigue? Apparently it's a thing. Might want to check it out. I checked it out. It's a thing. It's a real thing. Have you ever heard of this? Compassion fatigue? If you haven't, here's the basic idea. People are not opposed to being compassionate, to helping people when they're suffering in time of need. The problem is that there is so much suffering that they're surrounded with that they get burned out on the inside just trying to meet all the needs of the people around them. To try to meet the needs of those who are suffering, those who are sick, it just burns them out because they can't keep up with the demand. And it shows itself physically with physical symptoms and emotionally in their life, especially during a pandemic. It's just an onslaught against them. All of it underscores the fact that you can try to do all of the nicest things you would ever want to do, and it's still not going to help heal the cuts that sin makes on the human heart. Even if you try to keep up with showing compassion to as many people as possible all the time, it burns you out. You become exhausted, and you fail that way too. If only people knew, if only they knew what a compassionate God has done for them. Oh, could you imagine if they knew that Jesus Christ never, never, never experienced compassion fatigue? Never. If you look on the pages of the Bible, oh, people are bothering Jesus all the time. He never turned anybody away. Even when he was trying to get away for a little while, people would still come and find him. He would not turn them away. He would continue to minister to them, teach them, heal them, help them. Never did he experience fatigue in showing compassion for other people. Do you know how that shakes out for you and me right now? It means that Jesus did that. That was part of his active obedience to his heavenly Father for you and for me. This is when God looks at you now, he sees perfectly compassionate people. People who always show compassion all the time, because that is what Jesus Christ did for us and credited all of that to us. Oh, if people only knew, right? If they only knew that Jesus was so compassionate that he gave up his own beating heart on a cross to pay for all the sins of their wayward, sinful hearts that turned against him time and again. That there is this full and free forgiveness for sins, because that's how compassionate Jesus is and was. If only people knew that really the problems and the challenges and the suffering in this life stays in this life. It's only temporary. It's only for a limited time. That God actually has a perfect life, perfect joy waiting for us in heaven itself, at his side. Forever. Jesus was compassionate, wasn't he? All the time. And he worked hard to reach people with his compassion. If only the same thing could be said for you and me, right? I mean, too often we are people who don't have this urgency about us to show compassion and find those who are lost spiritually and help them. And too often we're more concerned about ourselves than those who are helpless and harassed spiritually, who are living and dying all around us. Sometimes even as a congregation, right, we can get caught up in this, the way it's always been done. We know it's always been done this way, and we focus on that instead of finding new ways, biblical ways, to reach people who are lost. Sometimes we get so focused on tradition that we lose our focus in trying to find people who really need to see Jesus, who are simply different than we are. It happens, doesn't it? Where we focus our attention on our homes, our vacations, our stuff, instead of focusing on the people who are lost, helpless, harassed, who need help from their Savior. Those are sins that we commit against Jesus all the time, isn't it? And we realize what we really truly deserve is not one ounce of Jesus' compassion. But instead, what we deserve is his fire of judgment instead of the warmth of his love. And yet, Jesus still calls us his sheep. He still says, I'm your shepherd. Jesus said it himself. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Our good shepherd is so compassionate that he even went to the cross for us to pay for all the times where we weren't so compassionate in our life, where we only focused on ourselves. Jesus paid for those sins too. We are fully, freely forgiven children of God. Sheep, to be sure, but sheep that have a shepherd, a good shepherd, who is willing to lay down his life for you and me so that our sins are forgiven. Do you know what that means, though, for us right now? Because Jesus Christ did that for us, because he brought us into his family of faith, that means that the same compassion that Jesus had for people, that is now our compassion that we have for people. Jesus teaches us to be compassionate, to show our compassion to those people around us who desperately need to see their Savior and people that we can help in their physical needs as well. Compassion. It was all about compassion. That is what got Jesus up every day to go about his work of being our Savior. This divine compassion that lived in his heart so that it flowed from his heart in helping the people around him. A world of people who needed their sins forgiven. Now that the Lord has put this very same compassion, the very best compassion, in your heart and mine, I pray that God will motivate you to go and show your compassion from your heart to those who need it so much. Help them because of their lost condition and help them in their physical condition as you're able. Because it's all about compassion. May God grant that blessing to us all. Amen.